Steve Ashburner knows that well. You can now find his work, NBA.com. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Ash.
Gentlemen, thanks for having me. You had me thinking there. What was the Brewers' record at this point in their season in 1982? I mean, they still had Buck Rogers as manager, didn't they?
You know what? You're right. And they fired Buck about first week of June or end of May. Yeah.
Yeah, that team didn't take off.
There you heard it. Chuck says the Brewers should fire Craig Counsell.
No.
Chuck just said that, everybody. Go and tweet that.
But, Steve, you remember the previous October, they went to the postseason for the first time and lost to the Yankees in that miniseries.
Yep, I remember that. I remember that well. I remember the Don Money ball that it was hit down left field, and Dave Winfield sort of went up on the wall to grab that.
Yeah, at Yankee Stadium.
That was the start of something. That was quite a run that they had. But, yeah, it was a big disappointment in the spring, though, when they didn't build on that right away. And people were nervous that little half pennant in 81 was going to be it.
Yeah.
And then it didn't work out that way. They had a very, memorable year.
Yeah. And they fired Buck Rogers, promoted Harvey Keene, and they took off on that West Coast trip. But, all right, we got you out to talk about the Bucks here. And you've been up here many times covering the Bucks for NBA.com. Do the Bucks need Malcolm Brogdon to be a legitimate contender for the Eastern Conference crown? Do they need him back?
I'm going to say yes. Out of respect for the season that Brogdon was having until he got hurt in March with the plantar fasciitis deal, the tear. It's this vague feeling because I didn't sort of chronicle it all and log it all specifically, but I'm telling you that the games I saw, many of the games I saw in which the Bucks won and dealt with some adversity and didn't have a breeze, kind of a double-digit victory from start to finish. It struck me that there was a six-possession stretch, four possessions up and down, whatever it was. There was a stretch in games where Brogdon would assert himself. He would attack the rim. He would put up a three-pointer. He would do something that was like a pivot point. And that would give a boost to the Bucks and sort of get them on track and on their way. And I think that, they've done fine, obviously, in his absence and covered for his loss and all that. But I think that becomes more and more important as you advance in the playoffs and having that guy. Look, I understand the whole 50-40-90 thing in terms of the shooting percentages. Can that be sustained, when he comes back and even beyond this season? I mean, he always regressed to the mean, and maybe he's not that level of shooter. Maybe he is. But I think it's, to me, just his putting his head down and sort of willing, himself to have an impact for a stretch in a game that I think it makes him invaluable. And you can get by without that in a 1-versus-8 first-round matchup, but from this point forward, these opponents are the real deal, and the sooner he's available and healthy and in rhythm, the better for the Bucks.
Talking with Steve Ashburner, NBA.com, Bucks and Celtics will start on Sunday at noon, Fiserv Forum. We'll see how long this series goes, scheduled to go out until May 13th, if it does go that long. Malcolm Brogdon's going to be out. They struggled for a while, Steve, without him. They did. George Hill has now gotten a little more aggressive and been a nice replacement in that time. But the Bucks are going to be without Brogdon. The Celtics are going to be without Marcus Smart, who I think is going to be a big loss for them, especially against Milwaukee in this series. When you look at how this is going to play out, I think what a lot of people are doing is they're looking at the name on the front and not on the back. I think they're looking at, oh, it's Boston. Okay, they'll win somehow. Let's make the series go seven. Give Milwaukee some credit. They were the one seed, but we like the Celtics. So are you going to be one of those guys, or are you going to be with me and Chuck and take the Bucks to win this series?
No, I'm one of the former. Only because, to be honest with you, I've sort of spent my life, keep in mind my background. I grew up in Chicago. I started out, I guess, my first affinity was for the Chicago Cubs. So you end up as a half-empty kind of a sports fan sort of for the rest of your life when that happens. And so you're always fearing what's going to go wrong. I mean, when the Chicago Cubs, and I'm sure your listeners don't want to hear about this, but when they won the World Series in 2016, it was the most agonizing night. I didn't enjoy that championship game, and I've got it on my DVR, and I haven't watched it yet, but now it would be safe to do so. But that was a horrible night because you're always fearing what's going to go wrong. And so I do look at the fact that, the Bucks really haven't proven anything to this point. They've gotten out of the first round. Okay, that's great, but when you win 60 games, you had better do that. And Boston, just in the very short term, you don't have to go back to the Celtics of Russell and Havlicek and Collins. They were in the Eastern Conference Finals last spring, and they nearly eliminated LeBron James, and the Bucks did not. So, no, I think that Boston has a definite claim to, some edge in this series, and not to say that Brad Stevens has any, greater claims than Mike Budenholzer, but I do think Stevens, when he, he sort of has a good reputation, and when he locks in multiple games in a row against the same opponent, I think, I think teams and coaching staffs, they can really show what they're made of, because it's, you adjust, in games, you adjust from game to game. It's different from catching a team, three or four times splattered across a 6-month canvas. It's you're really locked in, and you dissect your opponent, and you start to take things away. And then it's a matter of what's left. So, I think that the Bucks have their hands full with the Celtics.
Is that what makes Stevens so good? He's able to look at the Bucks and try to take things away, at least game plan against it.
Yeah, I think that is part of it. I do think that you'll notice that the way the matchups go and things that they do. He's got a deep roster. They can mix and match in terms of defensive assignments. And they also, can throw different offensive looks at you. And, when they're better offensively, I think, when Al Horford's playing center, but they're better defensively when Al Horford is a power forward and can be matched up on Giannis. Now, it also seems to me they're a team that can throw multiple players at Giannis. Maybe none of them would be, like, the answer, but as you have a variety of defenders, that can disrupt things enough for Milwaukee. Marcus Smart, to me, that's a big loss for Boston just in general, and particularly with Giannis, because it almost strikes me that he could have been Patrick Beverley to Giannis the way Beverley was to Kevin Durant, or has been to Kevin Durant in that series out west. That, okay, he's a shorter guy, but boy, when he gets up under your legs and in tight with you, and he's incredibly strong, and he's relentlessly feisty, they're going to miss him every bit as much, maybe more than the Bucks miss Brogdon.
Do you think that, Mike? Do you think that the Bucks are the Celtics are the toughest matchup for Milwaukee? Like if they get through this, when they prove you wrong and get through this, and they take on Toronto or Philly, is this the matchup right here that's going to send a team to the Eastern Conference Finals, or are we looking at Philly or Toronto to be one of those teams? Basically, that's a wordy way of asking you, who do you like out of the East?
I think it's very even. Look, I do have enough respect for the Celtics and, what they can do. I think that, the Celtics haven't been the Celtics of last spring for most of the season, but they seem to be finding themselves now. So, woe to the teams that have to play them at this point compared to most of this year. But I also remember Philadelphia coming into Fiserv Forum on a Sunday in March and pretty much having its way with the Bucks when Giannis scored 52. Now, to Milwaukee's credit, they went to Philadelphia and gave it back to the Sixers, and that was a pretty important victory, at that point and as a statement for any future meetings. So, that could be an interesting series. I think Philadelphia is its own worst enemy, and there's no telling. Not only do you have an opponent hammering on you in a playoff series, but I think that they have internal situations that are going to, potentially cause problems. And Toronto is just, maybe the deepest, best Raptors team ever. you know, they don't, to me, they don't strike the same level of fear, because I just think that the Bucks match up pretty well with them. But, you know, they're a very good team, and there are people that think that the Toronto Raptors will be the team that represents the East. So, you know, you can't dismiss them.
The Boston Celtics, do you think they have any chemistry issues? Or are they? Because when I see the series, this recent series here, I look at them the way they dominated Indiana, or at least beat them in all four games. And, Steve, I look at them and I say, man, they look a lot better than I saw them at times during the regular season.
Yep. No, I agree. I think that they sort of worked some things out. I think they probably are at a desperation point where it's sort of like, you know, we all need each other. You know, Kyrie Irving, he has these wild swings from, you know, incredibly committed to 1 foot out the door, it seems, with comments and body language. And yet right now it seems like he's pretty locked in and he's soaking up the attention he's getting for this, you know, all-time great playoff winning percentage or whatever, because he was part of LeBron's playoff teams. Without sort of the struggles that LeBron had to go through. So, I think they're in Boston is sort of very close to where they want to be. And you know, if you look at this from the perspective of a Celtics fan, they probably look at the Celtics and say, well, if Marcus Smart's getting healthier and this team is coming together, and okay, now the first round took care of that, second round, Milwaukee. And you know, then they'll just sort of take their steps one by one. I think Celtics fans are probably in a pretty good place right now that Bucks fans want to be, I guess.
Steve Ashburner, NBA.com, AshNBA, ASCHNBA on Twitter. Thanks, Steve. We'll talk soon.
Oh, I see you guys a lot. I'm on for the duration, Celtics-Bucks.
Oh, that's a good thing, Ash. Anytime we see you at Five Serve, it's a good thing. Big double thumbs up for me, my friend.
Thanks, Steve.
All right.
Steve Ashburner joining us.
Love seeing Ash.
On the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935.
I only hope he feels the same way.
About seeing you?
Yeah! Be out there Sunday at noon.
Oh, talking to Steve really jazzed you up.
No, I've been fired up all day, all week,
Friends,
all year.
Your boy Steve likes the Celtics.
Hey, not going to feel any different about Steve, man. Still a good guy, good writer, good guest. Yeah, well, I mean, there's some national guys who like the Bucks, and there's some guys who like the Celtics. I think it's, you know, split right down. The Bucks are only a -200 favorite in the series. So, I mean, just because he's taking the Celtics doesn't mean that he might not be wrong on that.
Your boy Steve says the Bucks are going to lose. I think his reasoning was because he's a Cubs fan.
No.
Is that what I garnered?
No. I think that's the roundabout way of looking at that. But, yeah, he was a Cub fan growing up because he's from the Chicago area.
Let's just add it to the collection of people that are looking, again, at the name of the front, not the backs. I mean, it's Boston, Milwaukee.
I don't think Ash has done that. I think he breaks it down. He's one of the smarter basketball guys in the country.
We've got the best player. We've got a better bench.
Yeah.
Name me, top of your head, what's the weakness of this Bucks team?
What's the weakness?
Yep. Oh, you repeated the question. That means you have no answer. No answer.
Well, it's not coaching, okay? It's not defense. It's not rebounding like it used to be. Outside shooting, they're pretty good. They bring intensity every night. What is the weakness? Maybe we should throw out to our listeners. If there's one weakness on the team, what is it? They don't let down. They don't lose two in a row. I'm not saying they're the, they're not the 90s Bulls, but where really is their weakness?
Why don't we save that for next week?
After they lose on Sunday?
Yeah. If they
after they get exposed?
Yeah. Well, we've got to make some props, Chuck, on tonight's activities.
Yeah, I suppose the draft is going on tonight.
Yeah, we should probably get back to
6 p.m. the next two nights here on the Fan.
That's Chuck and Winkler here on the Fan. Speaking of Milwaukee and the basketball team, my boy Sith Lord's getting hammered. You know what happens
already? It's only 9:15 in the morning.
Not like drunk hammer.
Oh,
no, my boy Sith's getting hammered because he does a lot of videos, and he's the one that sold me my car. This is where this is going, Hyundai West Dallas. But he's the one that sold me my car, And he does all these videos, and I like to do videos with him sometime. But he's been doing these videos about how, oh, the Milwaukee's not going to lose. Boston's trash. Boston Twitter has found him. And now they're coming at him relentlessly. So this guy is getting destroyed on what's happening.
Well, that's only going to natural, because if what their guys were saying stuff about our guys, we'd be doing the same thing.
I'm saying we need to show Sith and all the guys at Hyundai West Dallas our support. And we need to prove Boston wrong by buying as many cars as possible over the next week. That'll show Boston.
It sure will. Well, right? if they ever find out about it.
That will show them.
Yeah.
Move all the cars on the lot at Hyundai West Dallas. Get them off that lot and show Boston.
God, I hate Boston.
Show them that they're wrong.
Yeah.
No, but Sis is a great guy.
Boston entitlement stuff.
No entitlement over at Hyundai West Dallas. Check them out. Hyundai West Dallas, Highway 100, HyundaiWestDallas.com. New or used vehicle. Or if you just got a service issue with your car, even if you didn't buy it from them, they'll help you out. Oil changes, all that kind of stuff. You hear a weird rattle. You drive over one of the 9,000 potholes that they won't fix in this city. They will help you out at Hyundai West Dallas. And they're big fans, obviously, of our sports teams, big fans of this station, and therefore big fans of you. Check them out. Hyundai West Dallas, Highway 100, just off of Arthur and between Lincoln and National. You can also check them out, HyundaiWestDallas.com. Great vehicle. I've got a Santa Fe Sport. I've had that for a year. I love the vehicle. I love Hyundai. I love the assurances. I love the warranties. And again, you'll love the discount you get when you tell them that one of us here at The Fan sent you. All right, we want to talk to some Bucks mob members. We'll do that coming up. We'll go over props for tonight's draft. Ross Tucker yet this hour as well to talk some NFL draft too. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.